I have been thinking all evening about how to best say this.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on King of OX.
Ah, yes, it's finally that time of the evening. Strolling into Studio B here at the Voice of St. Louis is Hollywood's own Sean Michael Lyle, a man trained in the broadcast arts in Hollywood, California, a man who has rubbed shoulders with Cindy Williams, Olivia Newton-John, enjoying iced tea on the patio as he strolled down the beach, a man who has shared a cigar with Arnold Schwarzenegger while he was governor of the state of California, a man known throughout the hills and environs of Hollywood, California, and a man who I have just learned once transported in his very automobile.
Mm-hmm.
The members.
Oh, ZZ Top.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of whom's name is Frank
Beard.
Beard.
That's three. They were three beards. Two guys had beards, and the other was named Beard.
They still alive?
Oh, two of them are.
Yeah, they still alive.
So what is this? What is this story that I've been told from afar that you had this iconic run-in with ZZ Top?
Remember when this my appearing, being so honored as to be on the show began? It was with talking, because I told you outside about, you were talking about Yakov Smirnoff.
Yes.
And Yakov Smirnoff, so that was in Pullman, Washington, in Moscow, Idaho, right?
Moscow. How ironic to meet Yakov Smirnoff
Moscow.
In Moscow, Idaho, whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because he was doing a Moscow to Moscow I think it was HBO special, and I helped him with that.
Of course you did.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, if you can even look the trailer up somewhere, and at the beginning, my wife and I are in the...
Mrs. Sean Michael.
There's this line of people waiting outside the theater begin this thing, and we're among them.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
What year would this have been?
Oh, boy, I don't know, 1990, maybe?
1990.
Yeah, a long time ago.
All right.
But anyway, around that same time and at the same station, we would present these various shows in concert. And so, yeah, I got to meet a lot of, whoever came through.
Of course.
And there were pretty good shows, because when you have a two-university area, you get a lot of great shows.
Sure.
Unlike some large cities in the Midwest that don't get as many.
Right.
Yeah, so that's unfortunate. But anyway, so ZZ Top came through and they did their show. And then afterwards, I took some of our ticket winners backstage to meet the guys.
He's taking the ticket winners backstage.
Well, I did that all the time.
ZZ Top.
Yeah, that happens all the time with ticket winners.
Yeah.
You get the backstage pass, too.
Nice.
So you go backstage and you meet them and you take pictures and everything with them. And it was kind of funny because Frank Beard was wearing these really cool cowboy boots.
Of course.
Red, white, and blue with these big eagles on them. And there's, I said, man, those are awesome boots.
Yeah.
And he said he picked them up at a used consignment store.
Wow.
He said they were awesome. Huh. So they were took the pictures and everything and just kind of hanging out with
nice
the guys.
Nice guys.
Yeah, real nice guys.
Yeah.
Well, they've been doing it. Even then, they had been doing it so long.
Yeah.
And they were saying, is there any place to get any good food around here? And I said, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, a good taco joint or something. And I said, well, as a matter of fact, and I don't remember what the name is because it doesn't matter.
It's in Pullman, Washington.
It's not.
It's
across the border in Idaho. I said,
it's in Idaho.
There is this place across the border in Idaho in Moscow, Idaho, that is a taco stand there.
Yeah.
And they said, tacos in Idaho. And I said, yeah. And they go, okay, let's give it a try. So, we didn't take the hot mobile, the station vehicle. We took a different vehicle.
Mm.
And we went over there.
Was it your car?
No.
Oh.
No, it was their guys.
No, okay.
Yeah, and I kind of directed. So, and we go over there, and there's this taco stand, and it's about it's after midnight, maybe 1 a.m. or something like that.
Ooh.
And there were people hanging out at this taco stand.
Yeah, yeah.
And some of them had been to the concert.
There in Moscow, Idaho.
Yeah, the concert was in Pullman, Washington at Washington State University.
Okay.
8 miles away is the University of Idaho.
Yes.
They're almost right next to each other. And so we go, and I can tell you a story about that.
Oh, good.
But we go over there, and there they are at this taco stand, and everyone's pretty cool about it. Goes, hey guys, great show. And they go up there and they have these tacos. These are guys from Texas.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
These
Houston, are guys Texas.
From, you know.
They love tacos.
Well, going down to that Texas town, home out in LaGrange, right? And so they're eating these tacos and there's like, whoa. These are awesome.
Amazing.
The
tacos.
People who ran the taco stand, they could barely speak English. They're from Mexico.
Oh, they're from Mexico.
Yeah,
made their way, matriculated to Idaho.
Yeah, and learned how to make tacos because in Mexico, they don't really have tacos in Mexico. So
you don't say.
Yeah.
They don't have tacos in Mexico.
They don't really do that, no. That's kind of, they like that in the United States. So, they had this taco stand, and they said, this is as good as anything back home in Texas. So there they were in Moscow, Idaho.
Eating the tacos. Wow.
Eating great tacos.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. And so there's more to the story.
Was there more to the story? I was going to tell you something else, but I forgot what it was.
Well,
you were going to talk about the fact that there were two universities right across from each other.
So here's the story.
Let me know if you guys need anything.
Yeah, thanks, right. Michael.
No, this is short enough. They don't. I don't think they do this anymore, but it used to be the USC Trojan football team, when they would come up to play Washington State University, they had kind of this freshman initiation, shall we call it.
Uh-huh.
So you land at the airport in Spokane or whatever, wherever they land. They get on the bus, and then they go driving through who knows what, these rolling hills and everything. And then late at night, they pull in to this hotel, this hotel, and they go into the hotel, and they go to bed. It's the University Inn.
Oh,
and so
right there.
Yeah, the University Inn, and then they spend the night, and then they get up the next morning
to, the game.
To go to the football game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it just so happens that the University Inn is 8 miles away from Washington, from the football stadium, Washington State Football Stadium. And what they would do is they would get up, and they would step outside, go out to the bus, look across the street at this big silo in this little dome stadium that says University of Idaho. And they'd go, oh, no, we're in the wrong state. Oh, no. And they would all panic that they were in the wrong place. How are we going to get to the football game? We're in the wrong freaking state.
The horror of the whole thing.
And the freshman would be, oh, no, what are we going to? And they would just panic like heck, and they would run around, and they'd start, you know, making phone calls, and then they would hop on the bus and go, we got to go, we got to go, we got to. And they'd get on the bus, and they would drive, and they would go speeding along, and then they would make a right turn and then a left turn, and there they would be at Washington State's football stadium 8 miles away.
That is a beautiful part of the country, by the way.
The Palouse.
What?
It's called the Palouse.
Yeah.
What's that mean?
I don't know. It's probably French, and it probably is something you couldn't say.
Well,
on the radio,
you know, they're all liberal up there, so they're trying to defund the Palouse.
Oh, they're farmers. They're farmers. It is the largest naturally irrigated wheat land in North America.
Unbelievable.
How about that?
Yeah.
The natural irrigation in Washington State. Well, because you got the ocean out there.
Well, no, because you can't, it's not flat, so you can't do any other irrigation but rain.
Ever since we started this show and this late night with Hancock and Kelly, where we don't do politics, I have more people come up and ask me about Sean Michael Lyle.
Yeah.
Really like that? Is he blah, blah, blah? And so here's my question to you. For those of your fans out there,
and there are
who would like to meet you, will you be at Kegs and Eggs on Thursday?
No.
You're not?
No.
So, well,
no.
I thought we'd sell some more tickets right there.
I have to work that day.
He's working.
You're working here
working.
At the Voice of St. Louis?
Yes.
He's Cardinal baseball on.
Well, I know, but I still have to make news.
You got to gather the news, Michael.
If you listen in the mornings to Total Information AM, you'll often hear the reports that I recorded overnight the night before. Yeah, the night before.
That's true.
Well, how about that?
Yeah.
So people can't meet you at Kegs and Eggs?
No.
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 Maybe a St. Louis City soccer game sometime? next time your team comes through town?
You get free tickets.
Yeah, if next time I get free tickets, I'll be there. One final thing about that, though.
Oh, please.
If you haven't been to the stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what the prices are. Last I looked, they were like $180 for a ticket.
No.
If you haven't been to the stadium but want to go, St. Louis City 2 is already playing their schedule. They started last night.
Yeah.
They typically play on a Sunday, like at 5 p.m.
Yeah.
It's $13 to go to a game for minor league soccer.
And it's number two.
Yeah, St. Louis City 2. They play the minor league teams of the major league soccer, so it's a lot of the same clubs, but it's played at the stadium. So,
is that right?
So
did
City
you go?
Park. No, I did not go this past time, but I'll go. I'll definitely
go. Yeah, I'll definitely go. I saw they had like 3,500 people there.
Is that right?
On Sunday.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah, and you get to see the park. It's a beautiful park, and it's really good soccer. And considering it's Major League Soccer, quite frankly, minor league isn't that much worse.
Huh. Wow. Boy, you are. You're really down on America. Things and American thing. And, it's not a Mexican deal. The Mexicans don't like that. Soccer sucks.
Michael.
No, tacos are American, by God, I tell you.
They are. But Shawn Michaels' point is that the MLS in the annals of soccerdom.
Oh, it's a brutal thing. And the way the minor leaguers play it is just as good as Major League Soccer. It's a beautiful sport.
Don't you think, though, that if the best athletes start playing soccer, that the best athletes in the world will no longer be in the Premier League? They'll be over here playing if the money's there?
Well, if the money's here, they will. No, see, that's the thing about American soccer is that if you go to anywhere else in the world, the best athletes play soccer.
Sure.
But in the United States, soccer ranks like fourth.
Right.
So do you think if Michael Jordan had been born in England, he'd be a great soccer star?
Yeah.
But he wasn't. He was born here, so he could have been a football star, a soccer star, a baseball star.
Well, he tried to play baseball.
Yeah, he did play baseball. Yeah. And he wasn't that good at it.
No, he was not.
Yeah, Birmingham Barons. But so in this country, there's just too much financial competition for athletes. Yeah.
Folks, you don't get this kind of analysis anywhere else.
And there's probably a good reason for that.
Are you going to miss us? You're not going to see us for several months.
He'll be all right.
Let me find out.
All right. Oh, wow.
Shawn Michael Lyle, you've done it again. Thank you for your time this time. Till next time, so long. And when we come back, it's What's Trending. Braxton Payne is going to check in, as he does on so many of these Monday evenings. It's our last one in a while, folks. Enjoy it while it lasts. Michael Kelly and John Hancock will be back after this on KMOX.
Every Monday, when Hancock and Kelly appear on The Voice of St. Louis, we're joined at exactly this time by Braxton Payne. He's the king of pain. We do a little thing with him called What's Trending. Top of the evening to you, Mr. Payne.
Good evening, gentlemen.
You going to the game on Saturday?
We are. I am very excited, hopefully, to go 6-0 at City Park and 3-0 and at home. That would be quite nice. Quite a way to start the season.
Who we got? Is it Minnesota we're playing this week?
We do have Minnesota this week. One thing I was reading today also said that, we have 15 points already, St. Louis City does, and that's about one-third of what we'll probably need to make the playoffs.
Is that right?
Yes, so we're already one-third of the way there, and we're not even 1/6 or 1/7 through the season yet.
So this is a young league. A lot of us in St. Louis don't know much about the MLS. Is there like a Yankees of the MLS?
Not particularly. I mean, there are going to be a couple teams like LAFC that'll traditionally be pretty good. You'll have years that Columbus will be really good. But with the salary cap and kind of how the players are designated, it's usually a pretty decently even league, and it kind of ranges from year to year. I mean, you'll have some of your breakout stars, designated players will make big impacts, but it does fluctuate pretty heavily from season to season.
So most of the European leagues are on a thing called international break, and that allows these guys to go back and play for their home countries for the various cups they play. The MLS doesn't take that break, but do some of the players wind up leaving to go play for the international teams and not being with their MLS?
Yeah, so you'll have that a lot of times in MLS. We won't take the same breaks that the rest of the world takes. We will take some of them here and there, depending on qualifying breaks and things like that. Sometimes we will do that, but oftentimes it is not the case. For example, two of St. Louis City's players are up playing with the U19 U.S. men's national team right now in some competitions. United States actually just won tonight against El Salvador, 1-0 in Orlando, and you have several MLS players on that roster. Oftentimes what they try to do, and that's why a lot of these games in the MLS are on Saturday nights, is because a lot of these international games and call-up windows will be played during the week, so they try to try to limit that as much as possible. You won't have any. You won't have any MLS games this week that will try to conflict with that.
And soccer's kind of unique like that. I mean, here in baseball, there were a lot of these guys who didn't go play in the World Baseball Classic because they, you know, they're playing with their teams. They don't want to get injured. The national teams are prioritized over the teams that actually pay them, aren't they?
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's a couple things. It's civic pride, and it's also. Soccer is the biggest sport in the world, and these players are, you know, besides the United States, and even to a certain extent the United States, they are the biggest stars. They are the football, the NFL football stars of their area, and if they were to not play, the damage to their reputation, I think, would be so severe that clubs, you know, the clubs wouldn't pay them as much because a lot of times you pay for the name. You know, a Messi coming to America either this year or in the near future. You're paying for the name. He's not in his prime anymore. Some would argue he probably still is. But you're paying for that name. You know, you're paying for merchandise, fans in the seats. And these international teams, it's so important to continue to have that brand, not only to make money in your own life, but to help your country win.
So how do you explain this team of ours? I don't think anybody expected that they would be in first place overall in the league after five games. Not a lot of household names on this team. And yet they win after win after win. And the goalkeeping's great. You got Klaus, whatever his name is doing great. But what is it about this team that has just been so dominant?
Yeah, I think MLS is a unique league and where the style of play really matters. Our coach is from South Africa, and oftentimes African teams push the run of play. So essentially what that would mean is instead of like hanging back and playing more of a defensive style, they like to move their players forward on the pitch and really pressure the defenders in their own third of the pitch. I read something today that we are the, in the entire MLS, we have the second most takeaways, where we steal the ball and they're one third of the pitch. And we have the most in the league at half field in the center, one third of the pitch. So that means essentially we are, you know, pressuring them where they have the ball and we're getting the takeaways. I think it's also the chemistry. I think these players have bought in to the coaching style and the mentality and the excitement as well. I mean, there's a lot of adrenaline, I think, that they're feeling at this time. But a lot of these players have, you know, circulated some European rosters. They've been on several, like Tim Parker's played for five different MLS teams. They've never really quite found a home, no matter where the league or how old they are. They're all meshing together. It's kind of like a land of misfit toys, and they're just all kind of getting along and believe in the hype and believe in themselves. And I mean, Klaus has five goals in five games. That's really hard to do in soccer. And when he was playing overseas, I mean, he could barely score two goals in 18 games. So he's found his strike with this team, that's for sure.
Well, no question about that. And the other thing, a little stat that I picked up on the other day, apparently our time of possession is quite low. And the other teams got the ball more than we do consistently. And I guess, unlike in football, in soccer, that's not that big of a deal.
No, it was one of the stats. I mean, I think you see, especially in baseball, what stats matter change over time. I mean, you look at the money ball situation and how that changed the game. In the past 5 years, the possession stat used to be one of the most coveted stats. If you had the most possession, you're most likely to be the best team in that league or win that game. But what I mentioned earlier is the style of play is different. They don't care about possession. They care about taking the ball away where they're closest to the goal. And that is what they're prioritizing. I think in the 4-0 win against Salt Lake on Saturday, the end we had about 40% possession to their 60%, while at halftime they were leading possession 70%, 30% Salt Lake was. But we were still, 0-0 at halftime. Obviously, we won 4-0. But the priority there, I think for many teams, and it's not just the MLS, it's become a priority in Europe and also international, is the time of possession doesn't matter that much. They also changed how they qualify that. So it used to just be time of possession for each team, you know, up to 100%. Now there's a third stat in there that is time that is being spent where no team has clear possession. So we're also even measuring that stat different than what we have in the past.
Hey, that game the other night was awesome. It was 4-0, but our keeper kept us in that game.
Oh, yes. And, I mean, there's a reason he's one of our designated players. They knew our coach from South Africa knew that, you know, he wanted to do that African type of style play, which would require them to probably be vulnerable for counterattacks and odd man situations for the other team. And having him in the back of the goal allows them to play that type of style when you have a goalie that is top tier in the league. I would argue that he's probably one of the best 3 to 5 goalkeepers in the entire league at this moment. We do have a couple ones that are international stars and one plays for the United States. But I think he could be in the top 5 of goalies for an expansion team. That's pretty important.
Well, Braxton, as you know, Cardinal baseball comes back, which means Monday evenings will be taken up by Cardinal baseball here on KMOX. We're grateful for you always spending this time with us, but folks who've been listening to us for the whole year that we've been doing this know that you're a new father. How is baby Gia?
Gia's doing great. It's about bedtime right now. She's 5 weeks old already, which is hard to fathom. We got our first actual smile that didn't involve a, you know, going number two the other day. You know, she's actually reacting to us at this time. So
When you get to be my age, you always smile when you go number two.
Exactly. I mean, everyone loves a little gas pain when you're having some problems there. She's been great. She's been a really great baby. She got to go to a couple great restaurants this weekend in our neighborhood. We live in Benton Park and walk down to Sydney Street Cafe and Pete's Makers over the weekend.
Good Lord, you're taking this child to 4-star restaurants and she's not even drinking anything other than breast milk.
Exactly, and that's why we're going to take her now, and then we'll stop it for a while because those will just be date nights. Because we're not paying for, you know, the nice expensive food for a toddler. But, I mean, the staff there loves her. We've been going there for 7-8 years, and so they were excited to see her.
So you're a young man, you're a new father. Let me ask you, it's only 5 weeks. That's a long time, but it's also a short period of time. You've ever woken up and realized, oh, my gosh, I'm a dad, or, oh, my gosh, where's the baby? I got to do something. Like, you forget?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you first off, the one thing I've noticed the most is you hear phantom cries because she sleeps in a room and in a crib, and I'll wake up sometimes, you know, 1 or 2 in the morning and thinking she's crying. You look at the camera on your phone and nope, she's just sleeping. It's just you heard it in your sleep. The other thing is that, I mean, I think, yes, you say 5 weeks, but it's like you're just kind of, you know, you're a little bit in survival mode for 5 weeks, just trying to figure it out. You know, we didn't know. It's the first time having kids. But then I freak out about when she's, you know, 12 and 13 at random spots is what am I going to do when she wants to do this or, you know, how are we going to be able to do all the sports or dance or whatever extracurriculars and us still have a life. Yeah, I think about those types of things that, you know, are 10, 12 years down the pipe.
And having a daughter has to be even harder for a guy because you know what I mean? Like, as the baby grows up, you're like, oh, man, all those guys that were just like me are going to be out there bugging her.
True. But, I mean, like you, I grew up with a lot of sisters in the household.
Right.
And a lot of, so I think it's a little different for somebody. Luckily, I had no, you know, brothers or anything like that. So I kind of know how, I guess, from a different perspective, how girls can be in the home, you know, and obviously the outside factors of, you know, men bugging her and all the other extra things that will happen as she gets older.
Buddy, it's fun to watch this happen through your eyes, and we thank you so much for joining us. I don't know when the next time we're on is,
but
we'll let you know, and all right. We'll all expect a soccer update, a baby update, and maybe some what's trending. He's Braxton Payne. He'll be in here, I'm sure, for me here soon when I go out of town. Thanks so much, yeah, Braxton.
Again. Thanks, guys.
Hancock and Kelly Late Night, back after this. With Hancock and Kelly on a Monday.
Here we are.
We'll be here on any Monday evening. The Cardinals aren't playing. You can catch us every Friday morning at 8:30-something right here as we host Hancock and Kelly. We join the show for a little while. We come back for Dave Glover. We pretty much do KMOX all day Friday.
Yeah,
so
Friday.
Tune in on Fridays. And then on Sunday mornings at 8:30 on Fox 2, you can see our show, Hancock and Kelly, the television show, which is pretty much, well, it's like the first segment. It's a lot of politics. And it's Andy Banker sits between us. And John Hancock, I was driving out to see you this evening to play snooker.
Yes.
And the MoDOT has just cleaned up Highway 6440.
Yeah, that's nice.
We all call it 40, but I guess in real life it's 64.
It's 40.
And, but, you know, there was a bunch of trash. And, of course, you have, like, road trash that comes from, like, broken tires and, you know, accidents and
stuff falls
like
off the back of a pickup.
But there was, like, trash bags upon trash bags.
People
of,
throwing their McDonald's.
That's what I don't get.
I don't understand it.
Who throws trash
miserable
out their
people.
Window?
That's who. Miserable people.
Exactly. And it seems to me there ought to be, like, a rule that if somebody throws something out, you're allowed to rear end them, and then they have to pay for your car.
Well, we
because
bring
who throws trash out their car?
Rude and ignorant people.
Yeah.
And it's not good. We need to bring that guy back.
Who's that? Smokey the Bear?
No, the Indian guy that cried all the time.
Oh, yeah. No, but he didn't cry because of litter, did
yes,
he?
Yes, yes, yes. He was crying over the litter, Michael. Pay attention.
Oh, I did not know
there
that
he was
why
little,
he was crying.
He's got his little headgear on there, his little feather
Chief
thing.
Cleaner Upper.
It was, yeah, and people are throwing the trash out the car, and there he is just crying.
Yeah, I just don't get
little
it.
Little tear coming down his cheek over here.
I just don't understand how somebody can go. I mean,
what's
how hard is it
people?
To take it to your house and toss it into a trash can?
Well, and
can.
It's not like there's not trash cans
everywhere
you park.
Right.
I mean,
and I know,
everywhere.
But I don't see this kind of trash in other cities when I go.
No.
Like, I don't see it on the highways. Is this
rude,
a Missouri thing?
It's a rude, rude, lazy,
no.
Despicable.
I'll tell you where I see a lot of trash that resembles kind of what it feels like to drive the highways here in Missouri is in the third world countries.
There
you know,
go.
When I've been into Mexico, I've been down
you're
into the Caribbean
in
and some of those places,
Haiti,
you know, people just
trash
throw trash everywhere.
Yeah.
But people who throw trash out their car window, it seems to, what about a citizen's arrest? Can we have like a, if you
can
catch somebody
throwing
trash out their car, that you can take a picture of it and send it in to the authorities and they get fined $1,000 or something.
Yep, and then we turn them over to Kim Gardner.
Well, that's not going to work.
That's not going to work. But yeah, and it is a thing. I think it's people. It's just rude, is what it is.
It's ignorance.
It
I mean,
ignorance,
and it's just
because you know the litter out there is not good for the environment.
Well, it's not only not good for the environment
because you know
look
the birds that come and they eat the French fries.
Yeah, I would just
and they choke on them.
If you're a person who throws stuff out to your window, I can't even imagine what your house looks like.
Well, that's an excellent point.
Because what are you doing? I mean, you know, and it just is aggravating. You know, Charlie Brennan, God bless him, is doing these cleanups, and you should keep an eye on KMOX here. He's on all the time promoting them and doing these cleanups. But it really shouldn't even be necessary if you think about it.
Here's an idea.
Okay.
So we got all these homeless people out there.
Hey, now.
They don't have a home.
Right.
Looking for something to do. We got a city that's got full of money.
Flush with cash.
I mean, the federal government's just throwing cash at them. The Rams.
Well, they're not spending it on anything.
Right.
Not spending it on the police.
Why don't we pay the homeless people to pick up the trash in the highways?
That's a great idea.
Thank you very much.
Seriously, it's a great way. Even just to have them pick up the trash in downtown St. Louis.
Yeah.
Hey, for every trash bag you bring in, you get a $50 bill.
Hey.
You know, something like that, or a 30, you know, 20 bucks or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. That may be the way to do it. Because you need to, you just don't want people going and, you know, bringing their trash in. So you'd have to have supervisors and stuff. But, man, it's just despicable, man. If you go down the highways in
What's
Missouri,
the matter with people?
Yeah, it just, it needs to be fixed.
It's not right. And, you know, I mean, I guess the police have got other more important things to worry about.
Well, buddy, they can't do the license plates. Nobody's renewing their license plates. Nobody stops at stop signs.
Man,
you know,
that guy on the highway coming here tonight.
Oh, boy.
He must have been doing 110 miles an hour.
Who was weaving around you and stuff?
Well, just down the line. I was in the middle lane because I don't.
You don't
I
like
only go out
in
the left if I got to pass somebody.
Yeah.
And, but I mean, whoom, I mean, just right, it was like at the Gateway International Speedway out there.
Yeah, and St. Louis is, maybe it's unique, I don't know, I haven't experienced it in too many other places, but on highways where you get off, there's two or three spots on Highway 6440 where you get off on the left-hand side.
Yeah, right,
here,
and you got to slow down.
Which is strange,
yeah.
Right? Because usually when you're exiting a highway, you get off on the right-hand
side. Yep, yep, yep.
And then, you know, that's the other place. People at the tops of intersections just, I was out at 270 and Olive this evening, and people just take their trash and drop it right there at the overpass.
What?
Yes, there was a bunch of trash just laying around the overpasses.
Oh, it's horrible.
I think you ought to be able to allow. Maybe we ought to get a little stun gun inside.
I had a little
cars.
Had a little fast food today.
What'd you have?
Driving around, I did a Sonic. And
did you eat a burger?
I did.
You get the pickles?
I did.
Onions?
Yeah.
Mustard?
Yeah.
No ketchup, right?
No. They put mayonnaise on those burgers.
Ooh, that sounds bad.
It's not bad.
Really?
So anyway, I got my little Sonic bag there and my little wrapping paper in there.
Yeah.
You know, and if I was a Hoosier, I'd toss it out the car window.
A Hoosier.
But I'm not a Hoosier.
No.
And then I made my annual pilgrimage to the post office box to see if anybody's paid me.
And how'd that go?
It was empty.
Yeah.
And, but...
Put trash in your post office box?
Well, no. They've got a little trash can right there right. outside the post office.
Uh-huh.
Aha, I said. Because I don't want my car smelling like, you know.
Yeah.
And so there I was, and I put my old trash in an old trash can there at the post office. And my point is that almost any place you go,
there's trash cans.
There's a trash can.
No.
You go to the mall, there's a trash can sitting out there. You go to a restaurant, they got a trash can over you. If you go to the Pink Galleon to play snooker, they got trash cans all over the place in there.
I'm glad I met you tonight, and let me tell you why. You're the first person I know who's actually got a post office box at the post office.
Well, where else would you have one?
It comes to your house. Doesn't the mail come to your office or come to your house?
Yeah, but I got my business address is at the because I don't have an office.
Building. Yeah, but I mean I don't know anybody who has post office box.
I do.
Yeah, well that's why I said I'm glad to have met you.
Yeah,
because I always whenever I go into the post office, it's not often.
PO Box 7171. If you want to send me a check.
7171.
That's it.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Well, I know it.
But I go in there all the time to buy my stuff, and I think. I wonder who's got post office box here.
Me.
Now I can be like Hancock. He's got a post office box.
Yes.
7171.
Yes.
There you go.
There it is.
He's John Hancock.
Send me a check.
I'm Michael Kelly. We've got one more segment. We're
we'll
taking you to 10 o'clock.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly.
I love it at night.
On King of OX.
Hey, it's Hancock and Kelly Late Night for the last time for a while because Cardinal Baseball is coming at you. And the best part about Cardinal Baseball is you can hear it here on KMOX,
right
but
here.
It would not happen if it wasn't for this young man that we sit with every week.
Matt
right
Pajeski.
Hey.
We call him PJ.
Yes. And so what is it that you do over there, PJ?
Well, right now I'm running the board.
Yeah.
And I'll be doing a similar thing for the Cardinals games. But on top of that, I am... constantly recording the game, and I'm making the highlights of every scoring play, every big Cardinals play.
He's cutting the highlights.
Yeah, so that
this guy.
We use those for the post game show when we recap the game. Also, there's the pre game show hosted by Matt Pauly and other KMOX sports staff. So I pull interviews for the pre game show. I make a little replay segment of last night's game.
Dang.
The post game show, I'm playing the highlights.
Yeah.
For Matt Pauly, doing a lot. I mean every game is broadcasted over the Cardinals radio network. So
that's like 200 and how many stations?
It's 147.
That's a lot of stations.
It's either the largest or one of the largest.
Are you jamming the commercials in there, or is that a computer? So you're putting the commercials in that goes out over those 100 and something stations.
And every commercial that airs, every live read that gets read, I've got it marked down on paper so that these companies
know they're
getting
the money. So when the announcers are in the booth there, they're talking about... You know, smooth drinking Busch beer and easy drinking Busch Light. You got to write that
Budweiser.
Down.
Yeah. So every live read, every commercial's got to get recorded in some fashion.
Do you have to tell Rooney like, hey, we're back in 10 seconds. We're back.
No,
in 20
they
seconds.
They've been doing it for so long. They know it's a 2 minute commercial break, and when they hear that KMOX rejoiner, they know they're back on. So it's always 2 minutes, and they're professionals. They don't need me whispering in their ear.
And when they say, "We pause now for station identification," what's that all about?
So the FCC requires by law that you, read off your station call letters and I believe the frequency at the top of every hour. They do it at the top and bottom of every hour, actually. So when they pause, it's just a quick 10-second spot for us to name our call letters. And it's just
which is going to be more difficult now with the pitch clock because when they're doing it in the middle of the inning, 10 seconds, you know, you used to be able to do that and come back and talk a little bit and here's the pitch. Now... 10 seconds. Here's the pitch.
They used to do it like during a foul ball or something, you know. But they can't do that anymore because the next pitch is happening so quickly. They have to wait till like, you know, the next batter comes up.
Is this your first full season doing this?
Well, last year was my first full season.
Were you nervous?
Not really, because I had worked part-time the year before that.
The man's good at what he does, Kelly. I mean, you can tell by sitting here. He knows what he's doing.
Totally.
But I got to say, last year was the best year to be working the entire season with Yachty and Pujols last year. And, you know, the playoff push. And there were so many great stories there. Yachty and Waino getting the 325 starts. There were so many, like, historical moments that happened that year. And I was really grateful to be a part of.
Well, you just wait until you're doing postseason baseball here. Like, deep into the postseason. Like, yeah. World Series baseball. That will be something.
I would like to be.
This club has got a shot, don't you think?
I think so. We were talking about the lineup earlier. It seems like there's not a down spot in that lineup. Every spot's a slugger. If you've got Tyler O'Neill potentially batting sixth or seventh, you know,
that means
you're loaded.
He's the guy that looks like He-Man, right?
He lifts a lot of weights. He kind of reminds me of myself.
Oh, yeah, clearly.
And he's very
Matt. How did you get into radio production?
So I was a high schooler at Rockwood Summit in Fenton, Missouri, and
shout out to Rockwood Summit.
They had a radio class, and at first we were just an online only internet radio station, but
with Hancock and Kelly on a Monday.
Here we are.
We'll be here on any Monday evening. The Cardinals aren't playing. You can catch us every Friday morning at 8:30-something right here as we host Hancock and Kelly. We join the show for a little while. We come back for Dave Glover. We pretty much do Camo X all day Friday.
Yeah,
so
Friday.
Tune in on Fridays. And then on Sunday mornings at 8:30 on Fox 2, you can see our show, Hancock and Kelly, the television show, which is pretty much, well, it's like the first segment. It's a lot of politics. And it's Andy Banker sits between us. And John Hancock, I was driving out to see you this evening to play snooker.
Yes.
And the MoDOT has just cleaned up Highway 6440.
Yeah, that's nice.
We all call it 40, but I guess in real life
it's
64.
It's 40.
And, but, you know, there was a bunch of trash. And, of course, you have, like, road trash that comes from, like, broken tires and, you know, accidents and stuff
falls
like
off the back of a pickup.
But there was like trash bags upon trash bags.
People throwing their McDonald's out.
That's what I don't get.
I don't understand it.
Who throws trash out their window?
Miserable people.
Exactly. And it seems to me there ought to be like a rule that if somebody throws something out, you're allowed to rear end them and then they have to pay for your car.
Well,
because who throws trash out their car?
Rude and ignorant people.
Yeah.
And it's not good. We need to bring that guy back.
Who's that? Smokey the Bear?
No, the Indian guy that cried all the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, but he didn't cry because of litter, did
he? Yes, yes. He was crying over the litter, Michael. Pay attention.
Oh, I did not know
that.
That was why he was crying.
He's got his little headgear on there, his little feather
thing. Chief Cleaner Upper.
It was, yeah. And people are throwing the trash out the car, and there he is just crying.
Yeah, I just don't get it.
Little tear coming down his cheek over here.
I just don't understand how somebody can go. I mean,
what's
how hard is it
people?
To take it to your house and toss it into a trash can?
Well, and
can.
It's not like there's not trash cans everywhere you park.
Right.
I mean,
and I know,
everywhere.
But I don't see this kind of trash in other cities when I go.
No.
Like, I don't see it on the highways. Is this a Missouri thing?
It's a rude, rude, lazy, despicable.
I'll tell you where I see a lot of trash that resembles kind of what it feels like to drive the highways here in Missouri is in the third world countries.
There
you know,
go.
When I've been into Mexico, I've been down
You're
into the Caribbean
and
some of those places,
Haiti,
you know, people just throw trash everywhere.
Yeah.
But people who throw trash out their car window, it seems to me, what about a citizen's arrest? Can we have like a, if you
can
catch somebody
throwing trash
out their car, that you can take a picture of it and send it in to the authorities and they get fined $1,000 or something.
Yep, and then we turn them over to Kim Gardner.
Well, that's not going to work.
That's not going to work. But yeah, and it is a thing. I think it's people. It's just rude, is what it is.
It's ignorance.
It is ignorance,
and it's just
because you know the litter out there is not good for the environment.
Well, it's not only not good for the environment
because you know
look
the birds that come and they eat the French fries.
Yeah, I would just
and they choke on them.
If you're a person who throws stuff out your window, I can't even imagine what your house looks like.
Well, that's an excellent point.
Because what are you doing? I mean, you know, and it just is aggravating. You know, Charlie Brennan, God bless him, is doing these cleanups, and you should keep an eye on KMOX here. He's on all the time, promoting them, and doing these cleanups. But it really shouldn't even be necessary if you think about it.
Here's an idea.
Okay.
So we got all these homeless people out there.
Hey, now.
They don't have a home.
Right.
Looking for something to do.
Uh-huh.
We got a city that's got full of money.
Flush with cash.
I mean, the federal government's just throwing cash at them. The Rams.
Well, they're not spending it on anything.
Right.
Not spending it on the police.
Why don't we pay the homeless people to pick up the trash in the highways?
That's a great idea.
Thank you very much.
Seriously, it's a great way. Even just to have them pick up the trash in downtown St. Louis.
Yeah.
Hey, for every trash bag you bring in, you get a $50 bill.
Hey.
You know, something like that, or a 30, you know, 20 bucks or something. Yeah. I don't know. That may be the way to do it. Because you need to, you just don't want people going and, you know, bringing their trash in. So you'd have to have supervisors and stuff. But, man, it's just despicable, man. If you go down the highways in
Missouri. What's the matter with people?
Yeah, it needs to be fixed.
It's not right. And, you know, I mean, I guess the police have got other more important things to worry about.
Well, buddy, they can't do the license plates. Nobody's renewing their license plates. Nobody stops at stop signs.
That guy on the highway coming here tonight.
Oh, boy.
He must have been doing 110 miles an hour.
Who was that? Weaving around you and stuff?
Well, just down the line. I was in the middle lane because
I only go out in the left
if I got to pass somebody.
Yeah.
And, but I mean, whoom, I mean, just right. It was like at the Gateway International Speedway out there.
Yeah. And St. Louis is, maybe it's unique. I don't know. I haven't experienced it in too many other places, but on highways where you get off, there's two or three spots on Highway 6440 where you get off on the left hand side.
Yeah, right.
Here,
and you got to slow down.
Which is strange, right? Because usually when you're exiting a highway, you get off on the right hand side.
Yep.
And then, you know, that's the other place. People at the tops of intersections just, I was out at 270 and Olive this evening, and people just take their trash and drop it right there at the overpass.
What?
Yes, there was a bunch of trash just laying around the overpasses.
Oh, it's horrible.
I think you ought to be able to allow. Maybe we ought to get like a little stun gun inside.
I had a little
cars.
Had a little fast food today.
What'd you have?
Driving around, I did a Sonic. And
did you eat a burger?
I did.
Did you get the pickles?
I did.
Onions?
Yeah.
Mustard?
Yeah.
No ketchup, right?
No. They put mayonnaise on those burgers.
Ooh, that sounds bad.
It's not bad.
Really?
So, anyway, I got my little Sonic bag there and my little wrapping paper in there.
Yeah.
You know, and if I was a Hoosier, I'd toss it out the car window.
A Hoosier.
But I'm not a Hoosier.
No.
And then I made my annual pilgrimage to the post office box to see if anybody's paid me.
And how'd that go?
It was empty.
Yeah.
And, but.
Put trash in your post office box?
Well, no. They've got a little trash can right there outside the post office.
Uh-huh.
Aha, I said. Because I don't want my car smelling like, you know.
Yeah.
And so there I was, and I put my old trash in an old trash can there at the post office. And my point is that almost any place you go,
there's trash cans.
There's a trash can.
No.
You go to the mall, there's a trash can sitting out there. You go to a restaurant, they got a trash can over you. If you go to the Pink Galleon to play snooker, they got trash cans all over the place in there.
I'm glad I met you tonight, and let me tell you why. You're the first person I know who's actually got a post office box at the post office.
Well, where else would you have one?
It comes to your house. Doesn't the mail come to your office or come to your house?
Yeah, but I got my business address is at because I don't have an office.
But yeah, but I mean I don't know anybody who has post office box.
I do.
Yeah, well that's why I said I'm glad to have met you.
Yeah,
because I always whenever I go into the post office, it's not often.
PO Box 7171. If you want to send me a check.
7171.
That's it.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Well, I know it.
But I go in there all the time to buy my stuff, and I think, I wonder who's got post office box here.
Me.
Now I can be like Hancock. He's got a post office box.
Yes.
7171.
Yes.
There you go.
There it is.
He's John Hancock.
Send me a check.
I'm Michael Kelly. We've got one more segment. We're
we'll
taking you to 10 o'clock.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly.
I love it at night.
On King of OX.
Hey, it's Hancock and Kelly Late Night for the last time for a while because Cardinal Baseball is coming at you. And the best part about Cardinal Baseball is you can hear it here on KMOX,
right,
but it would not happen if it wasn't for this young man that we sit with every week.
Matt Pajeski.
Hey.
We call him PJ.
Yes. And so what is it that you do over there, PJ?
Well, right now I'm running the board, and I'll be doing a similar thing for the Cardinals games. But on top of that, I am constantly recording the game, and I'm making the highlights of every scoring play, every big Cardinals play.
He's cutting the highlights,
so that,
this guy.
We use those for the post-game show when we recap the game. Also, there's the pre-game show hosted by Matt Pauly and other KMOX sports staff. So I pull interviews for the pre-game show. I make a little replay segment of last night's game.
Dang!
The post-game show, I'm playing the highlights for Matt Pauly, doing a lot. I mean, every game is broadcasted over the Cardinals radio network. So
that's like 200 and how many stations?
It's 147.
That's a lot of stations.
It's either the largest or one of the largest.
Are you jamming the commercials in there, or is that a computer? So you're putting the commercials in that goes out over those 100 and something stations.
And every commercial that airs, every live read that gets read, I've got it marked down on paper so that these companies
know
they're
getting money. So when the announcers are in the booth there, they're talking about... smooth drinking Busch beer and easy drinking Busch Light. You got to write that
Budweiser.
Down.
Every live read, every commercial's got to get recorded in some fashion.
Do you have to tell Rooney like, hey, we're back in 10 seconds? We're back.
No,
in 20
they seconds. They've been doing it for so long. They know it's a 2 minute commercial break, and when they hear that KMOX rejoiner, they know they're back on. So it's always 2 minutes, and they're professionals. They don't need me whispering in their ear.
And when they say, "We pause now for station identification," what's that all about?
So the FCC requires by law that you, read off your station call letters and I believe the frequency at the top of every hour. They do it at the top and bottom of every hour, actually. So when they pause, it's just a quick 10-second spot for us to name our call letters. And it's just
which is going to be more difficult now with the pitch clock, because when they're doing it in the middle of the inning, 10 seconds, you used to be able to do that and come back and talk a little bit and here's the pitch. Now... 10 seconds, here's the pitch.
They used to do it like during a foul ball or something, but they can't do that anymore because the next pitch is happening so quickly. They have to wait till the next batter comes up.
Is this your first full season doing this?
Well, last year was my first full season.
Were you nervous?
Not really, because I had worked part-time the year before that.
The man's good at what he does, Kelly. I mean, you can tell by sitting here. He knows what he's doing.
Totally.
But I got to say, last year was the best year to be working the entire season with Yachty and Pujols last year, and the playoff push, and there were so many great stories there. Yachty and Waino getting the 325 starts. There were so many like historical moments
there
that
were.
Happened that year, and I was really grateful to be a part of.
Well, you just wait until you're doing postseason baseball here on the. I mean, like deep into the postseason, like World Series baseball. That will be something.
I would like to be
this club has got a shot, don't you think?
I think so. We were talking about the lineup earlier. It seems like every there's not a down spot in that lineup. Every spot's a slugger. If you've got Tyler O'Neill potentially batting sixth or seventh, that means you're loaded.
He's the guy that looks like He-Man, right?
He lifts a lot of weights. He kind of reminds me of myself.
Clearly.
Matt,
how did you get into radio production?
So I was a high schooler at Rockwood Summit in Fenton, Missouri. And
Shout out to Rockwood Summit.
They had a radio class, and at first we were just an online-only internet radio station, but... I think when I was a sophomore and junior there, we got our FM license.
Whoa!
So it's pretty rare that a high school radio station gets an FM license, and we were able to get that. We were like one of two high school radio stations in Missouri that could broadcast over the FM airwaves. So that really sparked my interest in radio, and throughout college at Webster University, I was part of the student radio station there, and right out of college, I saw there was an opening at KMOX and thought, what better place to combine radio and sports, together? And
boom!
And start off right at the top, right at KMOX.
And there it was.
Yeah, well, I mean, you are working at the greatest radio station in the country.
For the best baseball team in the country.
Yeah.
And then how about the time you get to spend with Hancock and Kelly?
Yeah, the best two guys, the best two late-night talk show hosts in the country.
I think he tells, what's that guy's name?
All of
the
them.
Lawyer, Brad Young, the same stuff,
don't you? Yeah. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, you're a very talented young man.
Yes, you are.
And,
thank you.
I know we always smile when we walk in on a Monday night and you're sitting here. Not that everybody else isn't wonderful. They are. But, I mean, you're just very good. And we, when we started here, the great Chris Myhill was our producer. And you rival him in terms of your just sense of timing and perfectionism. I mean, you're just very, very good and very, very conscientious.
Thank you very much. And before I got offered full time here, I had a long phone call with Chris Myhill, and I was asking him every single question I could think of. He was kind of like my over the phone mentor, getting into this position. So I got him to thank.
He's like that guy from Star Wars. You know what's his name?
Spock.
Yoda. Yeah, Spock. What are you talking about? Spock was on.
I don't know, dude. We're talking baseball, and you're bringing up Star Wars.
Well, we're talking about Yoda and Chris Myhill.
I feel like I need to go get stoned after spending this conversation with you.
I'm sure you do,
Matt. Best of luck to you. Hope we have a great season. Bring it home, man. You're a good dude. You do great work, and
we like you,
folks. You're gonna love it. Listening to Cardinal Baseball, just know that Matt Pajeski's behind
there
the
There he is, sitting here making sure all the commercials get written down.
Let's go, buddy.
All right, hey, we'll see you down the road. Coming up next, the best of the DGS, followed by Our American Stories. That's next on KMOX.
Working on a 9 moon.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly.
I love it at night.
On KMOX.
Hey, it's Hancock and Kelly Late Night for the last time for a while because Cardinal Baseball is coming at you. And the best part about Cardinal Baseball is you can hear it here on KMOX, it would not happen if it wasn't for this young man that we sit with every week.
Matt Pajeski.
Hey.
We call him PJ.
Yes. And so what is it that you do over there, PJ?
Well, right now I'm running the board. Yeah. And I'll be doing a similar thing for the Cardinals games. But on top of that, I am constantly recording the game, and I'm making the highlights of every scoring play, every big Cardinals play.
He's cutting the highlights.
Yeah, so that we use those for the post game show when we recap the game. Also, there's the pre game show hosted by Matt Pauley and other KMOX sports staff. So I pull interviews for the pre game show. I make a little replay segment of last night's game.
Dang.
The post game show, I'm playing the highlights.
Yeah.
For Matt Pauley, doing a lot. I mean, every game is broadcasted over the Cardinals radio network. So
that's like 200 and how many stations?
It's 147.
It's a lot of stations.
It's either the largest or one of the largest.
Are you jamming the commercials in there, or is that a computer? So you're putting the commercials in that goes out over those 100 and something stations.
And every commercial that airs, every live read that gets read, I've got them marked down on paper so that these companies
know. So when the announcers are in the booth there, they're talking about... smooth drinking Busch beer and easy drinking Busch Light. You got to write that
Budweiser.
Down.
Every live read, every commercial's got to get recorded in some fashion.
Do you have to tell Rooney like, hey, we're back in 10 seconds? We're back.
No,
in 20
they
seconds.
They've been doing it for so long. They know it's a 2 minute commercial break, and when they hear that KMOX rejoiner, they know they're back on. So it's always 2 minutes, and they're professionals. They don't need me whispering in their ear.
And when they say, "We pause now for station identification," what's that all about?
So the FCC requires by law that you, read off your station call letters and I believe the frequency at the top of every hour. They do it at the top and bottom of every hour, actually. So when they pause, it's just a quick 10-second spot for us to name our call letters. And it's just...
Which is going to be more difficult now with the pitch clock. Because when they're doing it in the middle of the inning, 10 seconds, you used to be able to do that and come back and talk a little bit and here's the pitch. Now... 10 seconds, here's the pitch.
They used to do it like during a foul ball or something, but they can't do that anymore because the next pitch is happening so quickly. They have to wait till the next batter comes up.
Is this your first full season doing this?
Well, last year was my first full season.
Were you nervous?
Not really, because I had worked part-time the year before that.
The man's good at what he does, Kelly. I mean, you can tell by sitting here. He knows what he's doing.
Totally.
But I got to say, last year was the best year to be working the entire season with Yachty and Pujols last year. And, the playoff push. And there were so many great stories there. Yachty and Waino getting the 325 stars. There were so many, historical moments that happened that year. And I was really grateful to be a part of.
Well, you just wait until you're doing postseason baseball here on the, deep into the postseason, World Series baseball. That will be something.
I would like to be.
This club has got a shot, don't you think?
I think so. We were talking about the lineup earlier. It seems like there's not a down spot in that lineup. Every spot's a slugger. If you've got Tyler O'Neill potentially batting sixth or seventh, that means you're loaded.
He's the guy who looks like He-Man, right?
He lifts a lot of weights. He kind of reminds me of myself.
Oh, yeah, clearly.
And he's very...
Matt, how did you get into radio production?
So I was a high schooler at Rockwood Summit in Fenton, Missouri. And
Shout out to Rockwood Summit.
They had a radio class, and at first we were just an online-only internet radio station, but... I think when I was a sophomore and junior there, we got our FM license.
Whoa.
So it's pretty rare that a high school radio station gets an FM license, and we were able to get that. We were like one of two high school radio stations in Missouri that could broadcast over the FM airwaves. So that really sparked my interest in radio, and throughout college at Webster University, I was part of the student radio station there, and right out of college, I saw there was an opening at KMOX and thought, what better place to combine radio and sports, you know, together than
boom,
and start off right at the top, right at KMOX.
And there it was.
Yeah, well, I mean, you are working at the greatest radio station in the country.
For the best baseball team in
the
country.
Yeah.
And then how about the time you get to spend with Hancock and Kelly?
Yeah, the best two guys, the best two talk late-night talk show hosts in the country.
I think he tells, what's that guy's name?
All of
the
them.
Lawyer, Brad Young, the same stuff, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, you're a very talented young man.
Yes, you are.
And I know we always smile when we walk in on a Monday night and you're sitting here. Not that everybody else isn't wonderful. They are. But, I mean, you're just very good. And we, when we started here, the great Chris Myhill was our producer. And you rival him in terms of your just sense of timing and perfectionism. I mean, you're just very, very good and very, very conscientious.
Well, thank you very much. And before I got offered full time here, I had a long phone call with Chris Myhill, and I was asking him every single question I could think of. He was kind of like my over the phone mentor getting into this position. So I got him to thank.
He's like that guy from Star Wars. You know what's his name?
Spock.
Yoda. Yeah, Spock. What are you talking about? Spock was on. Star
I don't
Trek.
Know, dude. We're talking baseball, and you're bringing up Star
Wars.
Well,
we're talking about Yoda and Chris Myhill.
I feel like I need to go get stoned after spending this conversation with you.
I'm sure you do,
Matt. Best of luck to you. Hopefully, we have a great season. Bring it home, man. You're a good dude. You do great work, and
we like you,
folks.
You
you're gonna love it. Listening to Cardinal Baseball, just know that Matt Pajeski's behind
there
the
there he is, sitting here making sure all the commercials get written down.
Let's go, buddy.
All right. Hey, we'll see you down the road. Coming up next, the best of the DGS, followed by Our American Stories. That's next on KMOX.